Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Girl Talking Mas. I am Marisa, your host, and I am here with somebody I just told her she's been on my bucket list for years. In Luz we trust, Linda Garcia. Thank you so much for being with us on Girl Talking Mas.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you today and your amazing audience and and get into it.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, we are all empowering, inspiring, motivation. And I feel like that's all you. Like you have, and I have it here in my notes, but your journey has definitely been one of the most inspiring journeys I've ever heard and seen. And I've cried with you many times on your listening to your videos, because you're so real and so authentic. And I want to thank you for like bringing that transparency, because it's what really connects us, you know. And we are a lot alike, and we are daughters of immigrants, and we do have all these issues that got carried over with us about money and about whatever, you know. And it related so much to me, and I know to many women. I've been to many summits and pop-ups and places and conferences here in Texas, and your name comes up as like awesome. One of the most inspiring people that they've come across on the internet. Like, do you know Luz? Do you know Linda? And I'm like, I don't know her, but I will one day.
Yes, we know each other now, Marisa. We know each
other. Air hug. And shout out to Melissa. I was telling you that on Melissa's episode that you'll hear way back when we did, because she came on the podcast when I first started. We talked about your special friendship and how amazing you guys are still friends. I'm sure you'll be friends forever, but you guys really started out before you were doing this, before she had her Chasing Camila, when everything was like all the chips were down, you guys kept each other going.
1,000%. We've been friends longer during the like non-glow up.
Yes. Yeah. Before all the glow up.
We've been friends longer. It's been a longer time of our friendship where we were not glowing than when we are glowing now. You know, we're both doing incredible things, and we've always pushed each other, and we've always, really just tried to inspire one another. Like, I would make her do all the crazy things that I would get into. Like, we were doing vision board parties in 2000 and like, wow, three or yeah, like, woo, a long time ago, before that was ever
before it was
even
like
thing.
The thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just, I would make her do all these crazy things, and she would always uplift me. She's like, I know you're going to make it. I know you're going to be famous one day. It was just so cool to go through that process and we're each other's witness, you know, to.
And isn't it beautiful? Like to see, I mean, like every time I see her doing something and then I see you guys, you know, and I feel the same way with like my friends that are out here making it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like. You saw this grow into what it is today. And like, I mean, like being a witness to that, and it's your best friend, like it doesn't get any better.
Yeah. It's like the cheers, when you cheers for the celebration of something and the looking into each other's eyes, it hits different, you know, it's a different type of cheers.
Yes. Yes. Well, I want to get started on everything that you're about. And obviously, like, you know, when you go to your page and you're teaching us about the stock market, you're teaching us tips, you're helping us get out of that mentality of where we have to live this broke life or this paycheck to paycheck life, and we can't have like a savings and we can't have that. But before that, I want you to just like give people a snippet who maybe aren't following you yet or don't know who you are yet. The last 3 years, what happened to you? Like, and I know you have a long version, but maybe you can just kind of like, tell us like what got you to this point of writing this amazing book that I cannot wait to buy.
Yes. So in the last 3 years, it's been an absolute whirlwind. I have been, just for context, I had started investing into the stock market all the way back in 2013. And so it was a skill that I continued to develop and hone in on privately, because you don't talk about money, because those are the rules. Mm-hmm. Them are the rules, the old rules that we are now breaking. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so when the COVID hit Italy, which was late January, I knew that it was only a matter of time. And I feel like I say I, because everyone around me was like, that's not even a thing. Like, why are you even worried about that? I'm like, because it's just a matter of time.
Wow.
They cannot contain it, you know? And so I was like, I was already accounting for what was going to happen. So like in January, I had already done my Costco runs. I had done my CVS runs.
Wow.
My home was prepped and ready. And it was very, to me, it was like very evident. I knew we were going to shut down and I knew that the stock market was going to tank. And so for me, the stock market tanking was a huge opportunity money-wise because I had spent the last years studying about wealth, how to generate wealth. And I knew two things. I knew that the stock market is bound to go down because it always does every 10 or so years. And it was already year 12.
Ooh, okay.
So we were due. And then I know that millionaires are made during recessions and during hard times. And I was like, well, if this isn't going to be a hard time, I don't know what is, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I went into that understanding in January. So like on February 5th, I have this documented because I used to have a podcast called Let There Be Loose.
Yes.
And on February 5th, I started making phone calls and telling my sister and just everyone who was my close family to start investing in the stock market, to open up a brokerage account. And people were legit like, have you slept?
Yeah. Like, are you okay? What are you talking about, Linda?
Maybe stop reading the news so much.
Yeah, worried about you.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh my gosh, they don't get it. And so I took to my stories because I was so desperate. I'm like, you guys, the stock market is going to go down. Like, this is an opportunity. I started sharing how much money I'd made in the stock market because I felt like that would entice, like, people, if they saw numbers, then they would get what I'm talking about. So I started sharing in my stories, never on my actual page, in my stories. Mm-hmm. And I started to get a really big response for, tell me what resources. Like, can you give me a resource? Is there a book? How do I do this?
Yeah.
And there wasn't a book. There wasn't a resource that I could give to anyone because this was years of me taking in information. And most of the books that I did read were extremely challenging to process and digest. And I was literally having to Google every other word in a sentence. It was never at my start level. And it took years to like, oh, okay, I get that now. And so I didn't have a resource that I could hand over. So I thought, you know what? I'm on a time crunch. The stock market is about to go down. I'm like, the country's going to shut down. And people were like, there's no way the country's going to shut down. I'm like, I'm telling you right now. So I start to build this workshop, what I think is going to be a workshop. And it ends up being 10 hours worth of content. And so I'm like, okay, this isn't a workshop. This is more like a crash course. And I was going to initially give it away. I was just doing it for free. And then I thought, okay, I can't give this away. I need to let go of my scarcity.
Yep.
And I need to value what I am creating and my years of researching and my years of understanding the market. And I need to present it as an offer for those that are interested in. And I was blown away by how fast the course sold overnight. Like, I woke up to thousands and thousands of dollars. And I was like, and in that moment when I looked at my phone and I saw the thousands and thousands of dollars, it was something like 20,000. Okay. It was
wild. Wow.
When I saw the money, I thought to myself, holy crap. Like, I have a business. Yep. This is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that moment and I thought to myself, this isn't going to be a one-time workshop. This is going to be an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole appeal of it was that it's live and live and Zoom. It's not pre-recorded. It was, you know, live. And
that means so much too.
It does. It really does. And we went like that for over a year. Twice a month, I was pushing out the course 100 people at a time because I did leave time for questions. Mm-hmm. And if we went over 100 people, it was just too much. We couldn't keep up with the questions. I had to start hiring folks to help me with the questions as I was doing the live course. And then, of course, I answered questions directly at the end. We were selling out 4 or 5 months in advance. So we had like booked twice a month for in advance. And wow. It was mind-blowing. And in one of those, mind you, this entire time, questions that were asked, confusion in students, every week I was redeveloping the course.
Because of the questions and the feedback you were getting.
Yes.
Of like, this is what people need to know. Like, they really need to know this. And this is not, it's not in the books. Like, and it's not, if it's in the books, it's not any way you can understand it.
Exactly. So I was shaping the course, you know, every week.
Wow.
And we had a publisher and a book agent that came together, one of the biggest book agents that represents Latina community in the United States. She has the biggest writers from all over Latin America and in this country. And she shows up alongside a publisher, sends me an email and says, I've taken your course twice. And we think, a publisher and I think, that you have a book. Have you ever considered this? And my mind was blown, because hell yeah, I've thought about a book before. We talked about Melissa.
You guys have been talking about it since you were in an apartment back in Dallas.
Exactly. We knew that there was going to be a book. And we knew in our hearts of hearts that potentially after a book, there would be a movie. Like, we didn't start dreaming. We didn't stop. You know, we dreamt as far and as wide as we could dream. And so when the idea presented itself of like, have you thought of a book? Yes, I've thought of a book. But never about the stock market.
Yeah.
No, that's not what my book's
about. Like, you were trying to go down that road.
It's like, that is not what my book is supposed to be about. And that is surrendering to what you're being called to do, right? And I was fighting the space of finance for a long time. Very aggressively fighting it, until intuitively I couldn't fight it anymore. And I felt like there was a greater fear to not share with my community what I had learned versus the fear of sharing and being wrong or leading people towards a bad path. Like, you start to think of all the bad things that can happen. Like, what if someone loses all their money listening to me, or whatever the case may be, which is why there's so many protocols in place on the way I teach my course, to make sure that everyone is following a protocol that is the safest and rooted in education. And then, of course, more importantly, rooted in money mindset. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what makes us different, because now there's a lot of communities of color that are pushing the stock market, which I think is phenomenal. We need everyone talking about this. Like, there could be 1,000,001 white men talking about that, and 1,000,002 white man is like, you still need me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we need more folks talking about this, and we don't have that many educating on the stock market specifically. We do have a lot talking about 401ks and retirements, but never this.
And that's different. And that's different. And we're going to, I'm going to definitely talk to you about that, because that's very different. I want to go into the manifestation part of your journey, because when I heard you telling your story about when you lost your job and you and your partner went to the beach that day and like wrote in your journals, and here you are, you know, 5 years later, where are we at? 2015 is when that happened to you. Yeah. So it's like, you are manifesting, like you said, you've been manifesting for a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I mean, obviously this is a big part of where you're at today, that you've dreamt this, you've pictured yourself making, you know, being a content creator, being able to put out the content, having a book, which is coming out soon. Congratulations. And now you have your book, Wealth Warrior, 8 Steps for Communities of Color to Conquer the Stock Market.
Yes.
It's amazing. And it's exactly what is so needed. But tell me about that manifestation journey of how you did that, because there's a lot of us like starting over, or, like you said, you were in this workforce, you were in a job you hated, you weren't happy. It was so toxic for you. And, you know, and now here you are with your own company.
Yes. Yes. I want to start by saying, by talking to you about manifesting. And okay, let's just break down what manifesting is, because I feel like the word, you know, has so many syllables. It's so long. When we think of the word, like when I see the word in my head, I see like little twinkles.
Yes.
And like, you have to have this magic wand. And are you worthy of holding the wand? Do you know how to wave it correctly?
What if I do something wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah. What if I think the wrong thought? Is the wrong thought going to happen and not the right one? That's what I think. I'm like, yes. Oh my God, I had a bad thought. The bad thought's going to go through. The what good ones are not going to make it.
Yes, and I'm screwed. Exactly. So here's what's interesting about that process is that the practice of manifestation and manifesting anything is simply rewiring your brain and getting yourself to believe in yourself. That's all it is. Very basic, very simple experience. And so I think going back to, we were early 2000s and I was having Melissa do vision boards and we were doing vision boards together every year. Mm-hmm. It was this process of like, we believe in what we want. Let's continue to nourish these beliefs, put these desires on paper, and just take a look at them on a day-to-day basis and confirm and reaffirm, continue to confirm and reaffirm, confirm and reaffirm. And that's all it is just a practice of feeling deserving of what it is that you seek, feeling capable of what it is that you're seeking, and allowing for God, source, universe, whoever it is that you pray to, whatever it is that you believe in, allowing for that to do the magic. It's not our job to do the magic. Like, I knew the
how
book
and why.
Mm-hmm. Knew, exactly, to know the how. It's just that we just need to get to the desire and to know that you're doing the work towards that desire. So me creating a course and cultivating it week after week after week, fine-tuning it, not giving up on it, not being complacent, because it's truly a calling, because I truly have passion about what this yes. message is delivering. I am perfecting it. And of course, listen, when my agent and my publisher came and said, we think you have a book, what they're really saying is, we think we can make money off of you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, right? Yeah. We're all trying to, we have the resources mm-hmm. to turn this into something that is much more viable, much more affordable for the audience. And it can go far and it can go wide. And I'm going to get paid as your agent. Your publisher is going to get paid as a publisher, but we are risking upfront. But we think that we can make more money off of what it is that you're doing. That's what they're saying in its essence. And if we boil it down, they are saying this because I have done the work to cultivate it continuously and with love and care and with effort. I produced something. It wasn't that they just magically appeared without right. me doing anything and saying, we think you have, mm-hmm. you know,
I mean, and the chance you took of putting that course out there, like you were debating that in your head, those decisions that you made it was a life-changing decision that you made for yourself back then that you didn't know was a life-changing decision.
Truly. You could say that again.
Yeah. Yes, you made a life-changing decision by waking up and deciding to make that course and deciding to charge for it. Like yes. that, this is what you manifested for yourself, honestly.
And what you just highlighted for me is, you know, I charged for it.
Yes.
Had I done it for free, let's say I went with my first intention of doing mm-hmm. it for free.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have freaking reworked it.
No, you're like, you're like, this is it. And this is what you're getting.
Yeah. There's no reciprocation. There was no energy, but because there was energy and reciprocation, I was continuously molding and reconfiguring it. I was making it the best that I absolutely could. And so, yeah, I think it's just important for us to understand that at the essence, manifesting is simply working towards what it is, identifying what it is that we desire and convincing ourselves that we are more than capable of executing what it is that we desire and then taking the steps towards doing that. And just doing that every single day and allowing the bigger components to just come into your life. The bigger components for me were my agent and my publisher. And right now we're doing the best to try and, you know, promote the book and get it into yes. more hands so that we can continue to build and continue to grow, because I believe in the message that's in the book, because I truly, truly believe that what I have to say is life altering. I've seen it over and over with our students. I've seen it in our community, and it's necessary. And I think it's even more necessary that it's coming from a child of immigrants.
Yes. Amen. So tell us about Wealth Warrior.
Yes. So Wealth Warrior is a very simple, easy to digest resource. This is a book that we wanted to make extremely accessible to all ages. And so you can be in high school, in late high school, early high school even, and reading the book. You know, it's a super cool book because I'm cool.
Yes, you are.
So you got some rap lyrics in there. You got a little bit of cussing in there. Nice. You have my life intertwined into these 8 steps, which I think make the book easy to read versus it just being only about the stock market. Mm-hmm. There's also my personal experiences, which I've had a really crazy life that is integrated into these 8 steps. And so the book is really meant to serve as like step number one on how to process and understand the stock market. It has a glossary in the back of the book.
Oh, wow.
Super easy to use and process. So that book right now is currently available for pre-order, which is so important. I've learned through this process with my agent how important it is for pre-order sales to show the publisher the demand, of course, of the book and in what cities the demand exists in. So I did want to say where you can pre-order.
Oh, yes. That's what I was going to say. Okay. Can you please name all the amazing places that we can pre-order your book? Because I think it's freaking amazing.
Okay. So I'm going to say this in order of emotional importance to me, right?
Yes.
So, I do shop at Amazon. I do. It's convenient. Mm-hmm. It was extremely convenient during COVID. And, I love that you can order from small businesses on Amazon now, which I think is great. So I was excited that you could get Wealth Warrior on Amazon. That's always straight, legit. People want their 2-day shipping. Okay, let's go. And, Walmart, like when I think of my book being at Walmart, what it takes me back to is being in college and having our dorm room and having to like buy things for our dorm, like a trash can and just the little things you need in your dorm room, and going to Walmart and getting those things there. That's the first thought I think of, is like, I remember that night walking into Walmart. And so you can get it at walmart.com. And then Barnes and Noble, like to think that I'm going to, that you can get my book at Barnes and Noble just absolutely blows my mind. And it is like the proof that I am capable and I am worthy of accomplishing anything in life that I desire, anything. But then you have it at freaking Target.com.
We love Target. I was like, wow. Oh my gosh.
I have celebrated so many Latinas being in Target, like Riso's Curls. Yes. Like there's been so many celebrations of Latinas being in Target.
And now you're one of them.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's so amazing and so well deserved. But like you said, you created this. You created this opportunity by believing in yourself and knowing that you were worthy before you knew you were worthy.
It was also going through the process of not feeling worthy, but doing it anyways.
Yes. Yes.
Not feeling capable, but doing it anyways. Not like, who am I to talk about the stock market? Truly, who am I? Like, I was terrible at math, in high school. I have so many reasons on why I shouldn't be the person. And I'm sure if like an educated financial white dude looked at me, he would give you more reasons.
Yes.
But I believe in my approach and I have lived my approach. I've executed my approach since January of 2013. I've been studying this since 2012.
Yes.
And I am confident in every single thing that I say in the book. And so it took a lot for me to get here. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, there were times where I would cry and just say, like, I can't do this. But I was doing it anyways.
Mm-hmm. But you kept doing it.
You kept doing it.
You kept pushing yourself. Yeah. I also think it was so interesting. I saw your post about how you had to actually audition to be your audio, which I'm so glad you did the audio, because for some reason, I love hearing you. Like, I listen to you all. Like, I watch all your videos, because the way you explain things, it just resonates with me. And I know it resonates with so many more, because like I told you, I've heard your names, places and rooms of community here in Texas, you know, that they follow you and they look for you for that guidance and that help. And I'm so glad that they let you do the audio for your book. But how was that experience for doing that?
Oh my gosh, it was so incredible. It's crazy that you're asking me about it today, because just today I just got back from the studio where we have to reread certain sentences. Like,
yeah.
Let's say I said something wrong, incorrectly, mm-hmm. or pronounced it incorrectly, or missed a word. So I literally just got back from the studio. The process was incredible. Like, first of all, I was like, there's no way we're releasing a book without me being the...
Yes, like, it needs to be. It has to be you.
You know? Yes. And so I went through this audition and with this woman that she's very straight to the point, very business, you know, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get this, but luckily we moved through it. I got it. And going through the process of recording was something that was so near and dear to my heart, because I love listening to audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Every time I listened to an audiobook and it was very inspiring to me, it would always take me into the thought of, one day I'm going to be recording this and I wonder what it's like. And, you know, I had no idea what to even imagine. And so I was like, I'm going to do a video to show people how what this process is like and how, yes, not a big deal, normalize it basically, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just got back from the studio today and the engineer was so kind. He came out and was like, we only had a couple of lines to re-record. That never happens. There's people that have to re-record a ton of stuff and you're just in here in and out. He's like, I've looked at your script when I read, and he's like, you went 30 to 40 pages sometimes without having to pause or reread. I'm like, cause I've been practicing for,
yes,
this.
Nobody knows this better than you. Like, there was nobody better than you to do that, for real.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was exciting, but really emotional as well. And there's all these little,
oh my gosh. Yeah. So before we wrap up, I want to, can we have some stock market tips? I have a few questions that just, yeah, for me, because like I'm in the point, like, so my life, I'm starting over again, but I'm starting over again. And literally, like, I don't have anything in the stock market. I have my 401k. Yeah. That's all I have. Yes. And I think that's what most of us do. We're like, oh, we got our 401k. That's going to be enough. No, it's not. So now I restarted and I'm like, okay, now I'm in like a financially better place where I can actually have like a little bit of money to like invest.
Sure.
So if, yes, I'm going to invest, or my questions to you are, there a certain amount that I need to start with?
Okay.
And when buying stocks, so like, I know you'll drop like some of your, you know, companies that you are invested in and how they grow. Like, for instance, like when you talk about like Netflix or anything like that, like those big companies, Amazon, the Targets, or, you know, is it worth investing in those big companies and buying like one stock if that's all I can afford?
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, if you start and you have your stock in the market for 40 years, you can experience some amazing growth from keeping a stock, keeping your shares in the market for that long. But I also want to remind you that you're not starting over from ground zero. You're starting over from a place that is so much more wiser. So I don't want you to take all of your previous experience and discard it every time you say, I'm starting over. I would rather hear you say, like, I'm starting better. Yes. Like, you know, you're starting from a way better position than zero. So I want you to honor that. And then the other thing is, like I mentioned, is that if you held an asset in the stock market for a long time, for some people is 5 years. So think about that. 5 years is honestly nothing. Ideally, I like to tell folks, think about keeping an asset there at least 10 plus years, or until you see a better investment that comes along. That's a real reason of why you want to take out that money. So for starters, it's important for you to know that it is not too late to start right now. It is absolutely, if you got 5 years ahead of you of life that you think you have, like, then you're golden, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing that's really important for me to share is that a lot of the times we feel like you have to be really wealthy or well off to start investing in the stock market. And the reason we think that is because there's some validity in that. Mm-hmm. Is a long time ago, you had to have a broker in order to invest in the market. This was a person that was going to help you make the decisions, and they were the ones that had to physically go in and buy the stock for you. And those people got paid on commission. And so if you didn't have a lot of money, they're not interested in taking you on as a client. They're trying to deal with people that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to
invest. Now there's brokerage accounts anywhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now we have brokerage accounts that have dismantled that entire system. And now you can essentially buy shares online without a fee. There's no fee. There is, they do get paid on the, you know, they get paid like 5 cents or 10 cents. There's a difference in the price that they sell you the share at versus what it's actually trading at in real time. But the amount is minimal. The first thing I want you to do is to buy from a company that is reputable. I know that there's a lot of great intentions behind new companies that maybe they're female owned, or let's just give Robinhood as an example. For a second. There's new companies that are living on the internet, and they don't necessarily have the old status. This is the only time where I would advise for you to please choose your broker wisely. Make sure they're not a new company. We saw so many things go wrong with Robinhood. So many things. You can look up all the things that's wrong with Robinhood.
Do you have any that you suggest? Like, is E-Trade? Like, I know E-Trade.
Yeah, there's E-Trade, Fidelity, Charles Schwab, Morgan Stanley. So like basically all of the big ones. Those are ones. Typically what I advise is if you have a 401k.
I already have a Fidelity, so maybe I'll go there.
That's exactly what you should do.
Okay. So I would open up a brokerage account
within whoever handles your 401k or your all of your stuff.
So you would say go there first before.
Yes, because you already have assets with them. So you're already a built-in customer. Mm-hmm. So you have that repertoire with them, whether you're in there looking at it or not, you already have assets with them. So it's better to just continue to use that company as a broker and just add something else. And that way you have all your monies in one location, different types of accounts. And so the amount of money that you invest to me is less important than that you are actually investing. Fidelity is a really great option because they have what's called fractional shares. So let's say that a share right now costs $300 for a share of Netflix. Let's just say that for example. Mm-hmm. But you don't have at the moment yet $300 to spend on one share. You could essentially put $20 towards a Netflix share, and that will give you rights to however much the share goes up. If the share goes up 10%, then those $20 that you put into the market will increase by 10%. So whatever the growth is for that share, that fractional share that you purchased, the full share, you will receive the growth of the full share. whatever the percentage of growth is. So what I like to advise is like start off with an amount that is really small. And the type of amount that I want you to identify is the amount, if I lost this today on a month, let's look at it at on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. Let's say you decide on $100 a month.
Okay.
If I lost this today, will it be okay? Can I live mm-hmm. without these $100? Mm-hmm. And I want you to keep that relationship with the money, release any emotional feelings you have towards that money, your expectations of losing it or gaining it. I want you to disconnect and disassociate yourself from any emotion tied to those $100. Once you invest, you let it go into the market, detach emotionally, detach, and be consistent with that effort. Month after month after month after month. Maybe the amount is $20 a month. I don't care if the amount is $5 a month. It's the same exercise. What I want you to see in the first year of your investment journey is I want you to see your response emotionally. Are you able to remain emotionless? What mm-hmm. is it? What scarcity? What fears are coming up for you? Identifying all of those emotions is so important because it starts to change our relationship with money. A lot of us as children of immigrants, we have a lot of money scarcity from the mm-hmm. way we saw our parents work.
Yes.
And how we had to make do. So we're rearranging through action, through the action of investing, how we're feeling emotionally towards the money. So the first year is really just about learning and understanding how the market moves and how we react. But it's important for us, I think, to stay committed and make space for the your dollar amount that you decide on month after month. Like make
so if I'm doing that $100, I'm putting that $100 every month and splitting it up between whatever stocks I want to put
in. Yeah, honestly, as a beginner, I would say do not choose more than 3 stocks. That's okay. Like my rule. As
okay, beginner, perfect.
Do not choose okay. more than 3 stocks because it does require your attention. Mm-hmm. And step by step, like let's just go step by step. You don't want to have all of these things that you're aiming for. The way I want you to look at it is like a pantry. And I've had a video on this on my Instagram where I talk about your shares being like a frijolito mm-hmm. inside a jar. You know, do you want just one frijolito, one rice, one tortilla, yeah. one chile, one tomato? What would you rather have? Or do you want a jar of frijolitos? Mm-hmm. You know, what was going to help
you keep putting it in the jar?
Keep putting it in the jar. And it's the same jar. So when I'm talking about frijolito, arroz, I'm talking about a Google share, a Tesla share, a McDonald's share, a Disney share. Like, no, you want to be able to build up your little canister and make your investment impactful. So the less companies you mess with in the beginning, the better. As you're going through your learning process. I would honestly recommend really in the beginning, just stick with one, pick one, do the work for one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really about the mindset of letting go that $100 and being exactly. free. Okay with it that, and then it's working for you. The money's going to be working for you.
Yes. And so the beauty of you starting right now, Marissa, you've got the leg up on everyone that started 2 years ago, three really? Years ago. Yes. Because the market has dropped so much. Mm-hmm. It has dropped so much because we are in what we call a bear market, which means we're in negative territory. We're not seeing growth in the market. In the market, we're seeing decline. And so you purchasing right now is like you purchasing stocks while they're on clearance, while wow. they're on sale. And so what we need to understand is that these clearances, these sales, they happen every 10 or so years. And what's important to understand is that we always recover. There hasn't been a time where we've never recovered. Mm-hmm. So the importance is in understanding that you're recovering. So you're buying at the bottom of the market and your mind will start to shift in throughout the entire process from day one to month one to month six to 1 year to 2 years, your mind will start to shift and your relationship with money will become something that is totally different. You will never look at money from the same perspective wow. once you start to invest.
Wow. And
I love to use the stock market as this type of tool and tie it emotionally and look at the scarcity and analyze the what you're feeling, because it's the stock market is emotional. Open up a chart and look at it go up and down, up and down, up and down. Those are that the charts going up and down, all that is a collective of the most richest people in this country and their emotions on money. That's all that's a reflection of, is people freaking out, people buying,
pulling their money, putting in, taking out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. There's a quote that you have so many gems on your Instagram, but one of my favorite ones is, no one's going to take care of you the way you take care of you.
Yes. Yes. It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. And if you treat yourself like crap, then you're going to find that people are going to treat you like crap as well. And so it's so important to be mindful of how you take care of yourself, how you treat yourself, how you love yourself, how you protect yourself, how you invest in yourself.
Yes.
It's so important.
Oh my gosh, Linda, thank you so much. Please tell everybody, when is your book actually coming out? They can go and pre-order right now, but when is it releasing? When is the official date?
It is releasing on April 11th. So we're excited. Financial Literacy Month.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Linda. Tell everybody where they can follow you if they're not already following you, and what platforms you're on.
Absolutely. So you can follow us on, we're mainly active on Instagram. My personal Instagram is Luz Warrior, L-U-Z in Spanish. And then our community's name is In Luz We Trust. That is where we talk about all things stock market and money related. And then we're also on TikTok, those same handles. And then our website is inlosewetrust.com. And we do have a community of investors on patreon.com/inlosewetrust. Yes, we're strong in there. There are a lot of Latinas.
So is it like a information and tips and stuff inside the Patreon? I'm gonna do that.
Speakers, information, market check-ins, emotion check-ins,
nice.
All kinds of cool stuff takes place.
I love Patreon, so I'll have to go and join your Patreon. I didn't realize you had one. Yay! Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much again. Much respect. I can't wait to meet you one day. I know one day I'll get to you. And
Melissa,
we're gonna get together one of these days.
Yes, we are gonna make our way to San Antonio. Yes, hopefully a lot sooner than later.
I know. Yeah, you need to come do a book signing or something. You need to make it happen. Oh my gosh. You guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Girl Talking Mas. Don't forget, we are on Latina Podcasters Network. You can always find us on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thank you, guys.